Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. So according to the Buddha, when we encounter adversity without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition our unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. So this is very common, because as you go through life, you will encounter situation and sense experience. So at every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste or tactile, feel something or think of something, then if you don't have the wisdom, your mind will react and stir, leading to all the dualities. The duality means the sensual desire, the ill will, the like and dislike, the pleasant and the unpleasant sensation, and the aversion towards things, or craving, desire towards things. So if your mind develops that reaction and stir, then unwholesome thought will arise because you lack wisdom, you lack understanding. Then this unwholesome thought normally comes along with emotion, like aversion, anger, dislike, unhappiness, or fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, or insecurity, phobia, and all those things. So these are the mind state that arise. So most of the time is either anger, envy, or jealousy, or even fear. So according to the Buddha, when this type of mind state or emotion arise, these are called the wrong thought, unwholesome thought, thought that can condition our suffering, our misery. That's the reason why we need to abandon them. So how do we abandon them? There are five ways to do it, according to the Buddha. So the first way is to think of the direct opposite, wholesome mind state. For example, if there is anger, then you should develop metta or universal love. And if there is cruelty, then you should develop compassion. And if there is fear, you should develop faith, sadha. So all these are skillful means, but it's still thought-based. That's why the word think is there. So when you have wholesome thought, like metta, loving kindness, generosity, gratitude, respect, sincerity, etc., these are wholesome mind state. There is no negativity. Then there is no evil roots behind. So that's how you are able to overcome it. So to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought will allow you to initially overcome whatever negativity or mind state that you have. But this first way is not so useful in the sense that every time you have this problem, then you need to either sit down one corner or you need to radiate this opposite wholesome thought. So in a sense, this is not so appropriate or useful. Then the Buddha said, if the first way doesn't help you or you cannot find much benefits from it, then you should move on to the second way. The second way is more impactful and more useful. He said we should contemplate, reflect, and think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or the emotion that has the evil roots. If you do not abandon it, then the evil roots, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. That's how you create negativity or karma leading to downfall. For example, anger. Anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. So this is the danger. So when you start to reflect on this, then you tell yourself, my life, I don't want to end up this way because I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely my choice. So I choose to be happy. I choose to have a wholesome mind state that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you reflect and contemplate and you develop the understanding, then you will determine to abandon this unwholesome thought. Then he teach you the third way. You move on to the third way, he said. Once you have done the second way, means you see the danger of not abandoning it, of the danger of holding on to that wrong thought, unwholesome thought. So when you see the danger, you say you will diligently move on to meditate, which is the third way. The third way is just meditation, exactly like what I teach you. Just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way. Develop your understanding that the natural states of mind before the stirring or the reaction is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of the unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. So if you don't give it any more fuel or meaning, or thought energy, then it will not proliferate. The mind, which is basically the mundane mind, which doesn't have the right view and the wisdom, they become heedless, they think a lot. So this proliferation of thought need mental energy born of ignorance and delusion to support them. So if you have the understanding, you just relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. Let things be means don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to arise any thought. Yes, you are trying to relax, maintain awareness to realize your true mind. Your true mind is the original state of mind before your mind stir or react. So when you understand that, then meditation becomes very easy. To meditate is just to relax, silent, maintain awareness, and just allow the mundane mind to slow down and finally settle down and become very quiet and very still. Without thought, you are the original mind. You are already peaceful, aware, tranquil, and still. Within. The reason why you are not able to be in that meditative state is because you have mental hindrance. And the reason for the mental hindrance are you lack spiritual faculties. So spiritual faculties are very important. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Develop them. Stabilize them. Then you are constantly in a meditative state. Because the five spiritual faculties, if you look at them, they are all beautiful mind state without the evil roots, without the hindrance. They are just faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed, and very stable. Means there is no more doubt, no more restlessness of mind. Then this faith, born of understanding who the Buddha is, how wise and virtuous a being he is, and how beautiful his teaching is, will allow you to develop the great respect and gratitude towards the Buddha. Then when you see the importance of cultivating his teaching, developing the understanding of his Dhamma teaching, then you will go all out to cultivate them. So that will give rise to the second spiritual faculty of virya. Virya is the tenacity to go this way through understanding. So sadha and virya are very beautiful mind state. When you have virya, you cannot be sleepy. There will be no sloth and torpor, lethargic mind and all those things. Then when you go all out to cultivate, you will develop sati. That's why the first thing in meditation is to develop sati, to cultivate the mind, to develop this mindfulness and stabilize it. The mundane mind need to be trained. The true mind doesn't need to be trained. The true mind is already there all the time. But the true mind is the one that is responsible for the arising of the mundane mind. So through ignorance, through lack of understanding, through lack of spiritual faculties, the untrained mind becomes heedless. That's how living beings' mind cannot be peaceful, cannot be in the meditative state. That's the reason why all those negativity of mind state, the Buddha called it the mental hindrance, because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. So this third way is the most beautiful when you have the understanding. The spiritual faculty of sadha, virya leading to sati, will enable your mind to be just quiet, peaceful, and just aware. When you are in sati, you are incapable of thinking. There is no thought. When there is no thought, your natural state of mind, which is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, they will appear naturally. That's why the moment you are mindful without thought, you are already in the meditative state. That's the reason why mindfulness is so important. When you are mindful, you are sensitive. When you are aware, you can see things as they are clearly. That is what meditation is all about. So the third way is just to develop the sati. When you relax and let things be, maintain awareness, then this mind will settle down. Then whatever anger, emotion, or unwholesome thought, they will dissipate. Dissipate means because they are conditioned arising, cause of phenomenon. So when you're silent and don't do anything, then you can see that emotion dissipate its energy. So once the energy that maintain the anger is no more, then it ceases to be. Then you will come to a great awakening or understanding from that third way, that anger was never you. Fear was never you. All this unwholesome state of mind, negativity of emotion, wrong thought, was never you. If they were not you, then you don't have a problem. You only need to understand that. Because before you get angry, there was no anger. Before there is fear, there was no fear. So how did they arise? You move on to the fourth way, you will understand. That's why the Buddha said the fourth way is to trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana. That is, we are cultivating mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free the mind. So under this training, the Buddha said, when you are mindful and aware, then you can develop this fourth way. You ask yourself, before I get angry, there was no anger. Before that fear arise, there was no fear. Then how did it arise? You have to find out, trace the origination factor. Then when you develop the mindfulness of the sense bases, you will see them clearly. Because when you are mindful of your internal sense bases, then how upon contact of mind and the external sense data, the respective consciousness come to be. Then how through wrong view you input the content of consciousness, then you stir your mind. You get angry. You become fearful. You become emotional. You will see all this. That's the reason why mindfulness is so important. Mindfulness is so potent. When you are mindful, you are aware, you are sensitive, you can see how you function as a human being, as a living being. Then when you start to understand how you stir your mind, how you react, how you get angry, how you become emotional, how you arise the evil root, then you will know how to deal with it. So after you have developed enough of this training of daily mindfulness and the stability of mindfulness in the form of meditation, then you keep on observing all this movement, activity of mind. You keep on understanding how you become what you are, what caused you to be deluded, what caused you to be emotional, angry, fearful, insecure. So all this is wisdom. And to have wisdom, you must have mindfulness to see, to understand. Then you will come to a very penetrative understanding later on. If it's not because of the wrong view, your mind will not stir. So what you need is to develop the straightening of the view. To develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Through constant listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation after your meditation. Where you see it in your meditation, then you reflect, you contemplate. Just now, why did you do that? How did you do that? Then you realize all this movement and activity is born of your memory. Your mundane mind is so conditioned. And what is memory? Accumulation of experiences, good and bad. All of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, religious labor, the accumulated fear, insecurity, phobia, whatever that you experience in life, you accumulate. And when you accumulate, they enter your memory. That's why accumulation is the cause of suffering. Accumulation lead to craving, desire, delusion. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. You will start to see that. Because before there is wisdom, memory is always the conditioned mind, the egoic mind, the deluded mind. So it's full of all the rubbish. Your fear, your insecurity, your selfishness, your desire, your phobia, your insecurity, everything is within that memory, that conditioning. That's why your memory is the bundle of memory, or they call it that collective thing, which we call your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Your belief system and all these things. So all this mold you. And when you see all this very clearly, then you realize that human being is not what you think you are. That human being is the result of all the conditioning, the views, opinion, and belief system that molded you and make you do all those things. Then when you start to understand all these things, you will have the answer to the problem. You inquire and reflect. If that is the case, what must I do? When I saw that, I awakened. Then I developed the wisdom to straighten my view. Then how can I not react, not to stir my mind, not to arise the evil root, the anger, the insecurity, the fear? I need wisdom. So wisdom can arise when you check the teaching. you ask yourself, what did the Buddha actually taught us to develop wisdom? He always used this word. You have to develop the sati, the mindfulness, to see things as they are clearly. Not to see things according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, what your mundane mind tell you, what your memory interpret to you. So to see things as they are means you silent without word, the direct seeing that leads to the awakening. Then you realize before the words come out, before the perception, there is just the awareness that is aware. There is no one to see. There is no delusion. There is no entanglement. There is no egoic mind. That's how you're free. Then when you understand that, you already have the wisdom because you can trace the origination factor of this anger, fear, and unwholesome state. Then now you develop the straightening of the view to reverse all this, retrospectively reverse this. So how not to react? Like the Buddha said, we learn to see things as they are. We learn to accept the reality of the moment. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Then like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So when I reflect deep enough, then I understand this is what the teaching is. According to the Buddha, everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is no God behind. There is no special being behind. Everything is natural, naturally arising, depending on condition. That's why our world is a conditioned world, dependent originating world. So this is the understanding that the Buddha wants us to develop. So if I have this understanding, then I tell myself, thing is just the way it is, all the time, no matter what happens. Because condition already said, the nature will flow in accordance with nature's law, following whatever condition that has been established. So it means the reality of the moment is already set, you can't change. So every moment of sense experience, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So I have to accept this reality first. So to accept this reality, my nature has come out with the understanding on my own. I came to realize people are just the way they are. Because I realize human beings sometimes get angry, emotional, or fearful because when they see somebody they don't like, or when they see somebody that has problem which they cannot come to terms with, especially the first noble truth reality, when you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation and all those things, when you cannot get what you want. So all this bring about suffering. So I came out with this understanding. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So when we can have wisdom, this type of right view and right understanding to accept the reality of the moment, then we are at peace. Then we will not have problem that the mundane mind create. The mundane mind usually blame people. That guy make me angry. That guy did all these things, make me miserable, fearful, and all those things. So all this is the egoic mind through self-delusion, trying to blame. But when you have the wisdom and the understanding, you look at it, he's just the way he is. Being deluded, he will do deluded things. Being selfish, he will do selfish things. That's why angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. So when you can have this understanding, no matter who you meet in life, you are always at peace. Because you can accept him for what he is. And he is the way he is. People are just the way they are. Then when condition has already evolved, you can also be at peace, like COVID-19 or currency crisis or whatever crisis. You can accept the reality of the moment because, like the Buddha say, the world is the world. Condition already set. Things is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. So when I can accept the reality of the moment through this type of wisdom, then I don't have a problem. Then I can act. So meditation is to develop the wisdom born of the third and fourth way to help you awaken. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with every moment of sense experience. That's how Panya liberates the mind. Nothing else. So when you can do that, you already have the ability to transform your mind. That's how the step 4 and step 5 of Avijja Sutta comes to be. So when you contemplate, reflect, and develop the mindfulness of the internal sense basis and the external sense basis, you start to see all this movement, activity, reaction of Maya. Then you start to understand the law of dependent origination, condition arising, cause of the normal. Then you start to understand how things come to be and how things develop, proliferate, and become affliction. You will see all this. Then through understanding, you can reverse them. That's the reason why the third way and the fourth way is very powerful. They are really wisdom way. Give you great wisdom awakening. So I remember during the early day, the first thing that I break free was anger. When there was agitation, when there was this reaction and stirring during the early day, then I realized I don't have to suppress the anger. I don't have to control the anger. I don't have to do anything about the anger. Then I remember the Buddha's teaching, the third way. Then I just be with it. When the anger move and develop, then I just silence my mind, maintain awareness, relax into it, and be with it. Find out for yourself. Do it. When you can do that, you will awaken. Fear is the same. Whatever emotion, insecurity, when it arises, aware, silence your mind, be with it, and see how the cessation happens. Here, cessation means the cessation of the emotion, the anger or that fear. Because when you don't give it any more negative thought energy, it will cease to be. Because you are just aware. That's the reason why mindfulness or awareness is a very powerful, purifying mind state. It is capable of purifying the negative mind state. It can root out all this wrong thought, evil thought. We are understanding, no need to do anything. Be with it, aware. Relax, aware. Maintain awareness. Let things be. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. The doing is always by the thought. Who wants to know? The thought wants to know. And what is that knowing? Knowledge. This is not wisdom. So don't ever do those things. When you meditate, relax, maintain awareness, and let the silent mind awaken, develop the understanding. Because that silent mind that is so stable and just aware will be able to observe clearly. Then when you can observe clearly, that's why you need mindfulness, awareness. You have to be attentive without thought. Then that direct seeing will awaken your nature. Then you will understand. No wonder living being get entangled. No wonder living being cannot develop the understanding to free. Because they think a lot. They are clouded by the thought, by the wrong view, by the delusion, That's how suffering comes to be, affliction comes to be. So all this, when you start to see them in the meditation, in the daily mindfulness, when you have the stability of sati, you will awaken, you will develop the understanding. And this is how the Buddha's teaching can be very powerful, very potent. So now we finish with the fourth way. Yeah? Here go to the fifth way. Actually, the fifth way for me is not important or not useful. Yeah. We are according to the Buddha, he said, if all the above four ways he has taught you also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by him. That is, with clenched teeth and your tongue towards your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the negative, unwholesome thought. Means use your willpower. But this willpower, without wisdom, no use. Means no matter how, you have to abandon it. But it's not easy. You will be wasting a lot of time. So the third and the fourth way is still the most useful, most appropriate.